I had too many words, I thought, for this, and so I threw it out. And I have just some note cards, and I went, I don't know if that's going to work either. I'm going to practice what I preach here and hope that comes out good enough. What I wanted to talk to you about is the place that I have come to, gratefully, about this thing called developing presence. And what that might mean to you, why you might want to do that, and what kind of uses I have for it in my work, and again, what that might mean to you. So I'd like to talk about presence, first of all, by saying, well, I bet everybody has a different description of what that might be. I think that, for me, presence is a type of developing excellence, and I've been working in a program that I'll tell you more about later, where we've been heavily involved in the idea of excellence, but how we got to that excellence, I think, was this big umbrella called developing presence. And so one of the things that I wanted to say to you about it was that when I'm trying to describe it, it's about fullness. So there's all these other words that come up that are not necessarily connected. Fullness, wholeness, being, all these things together somehow have come to me as this idea of developing presence with myself first so that I might be fully available to someone else. And this is a linchpin or foundation of the work that we have been doing up in Newtown with ourselves first, developing our presence to ourselves and the capacity to be present for somebody else. Because what we see in this room and in our greater community is the idea of we are helpers. This is what we've chosen to do, or it's our nature. We want to help somebody. And many of us came to that place because we didn't get it, or we had something happen, and we don't want that to happen to somebody else, at least not alone, or at least not with somebody to be there and witness that for them. So we used to call it the giving heart, and that's what really informed my theme for this year, was that we all have this giving heart. But it's almost like some of us are compelled to do it. Some of us are told we ought to do it. Some of us think we ought to do it. But the problem there, I think you're starting to see, is that reasoning may not have a lot of you, the real you, in it. Those are coming from outside places, really, right? That's the meaning we have made. So if I'm a social worker, I'm a counselor, I'm a this, I help others, that's what I do. 9 times out of 10, I find these kind of people taking a session with me because suddenly they realize that they are very uncomfortable when I ask them to start receiving.
Oh, I don't do that. I'm a giver. I'm a fixer. You can keep that stuff.
So we do a lot of work about what is receiving as a thing that we give to the person who wishes to give to us. And I don't think that we can do that until we become this transformed thing by presence, this considered mindful thing called ourself, right? So I think the presence is transformational in that it takes humans thinking and humans doing and humans acting into humans being, just being. And when I'm there, I have a feeling now for it. But at the first, I didn't. What I started to get, though, was this conversation from people that went something like this. There's a way about you. I don't know what that is, but there's a way about you. And I thought, well, I guess that's a nice thing. Sounded like a nice thing. Or they would say something very, topical, like, well, the last time I did this, she had me, and then they did. And I noticed that there were all these action-doing things that they were telling me that someone had done to them So I started scratching my head, and I'm onto something here. Because really what I'm trying to do is a flowing through me version of meeting them where they are. I said, oh, right. I am approaching them at a rate, a speed, with an intention in my heart, just to reach them where they are because, I see, I'm a Southerner. And the idea is it's a capital sin not to make that other person comfortable. Of course, we can do that until we do hospitalize them. If you have ever been a victim of one of our concerted efforts. But taking it back a step, I thought, I was trained to, but I also want to make you comfortable. Because there's a lot in there for me, if you're comfortable, right? I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable being with you. And if that is so, chances are good I'm building rapport and bridges and all those things that we've been taught. But I'm really just meeting you where you are and being at peace with that. And I hope that by doing so, I allow you to start doing that with me. So, when I commit myself to this, that became my practice. I said, yeah, I'm going to commit myself to being more mindful about how I practice this work in the world. I'm going to commit myself to being more fully present every time that I can. And the only way I know to do that is be mindful and set an intention for it. So I went, oh, okay, that must be the first thing that we need to do. I guess I should be intentional. Okay, so I said, all right, there's an intention I need to set. And all of a sudden, even though that word sounded really good and Lynn McTaggart and all, so I thought I was in good company, I realized that that too was an action. And what I really wanted to say was, I have to allow. I have to allow myself to hold that intention and keep that intention. It's not a doing, checking it off. I have to allow myself to be intentional and present to them. Because when I did so, I realized that I became whole. And in this business, I thought, wow, what would that do? If I can be more whole, I am holding a space for you to step into so that you might bring your wholeness too. Because I know we all feel broken sometimes, and I know we all come to our tapping buddy or another practitioner, and we bring our brokenness, the thing that ain't working. Mm-hmm. But we are in fullness and wholeness, and if I can help you circumscribe that space between us, you can step into that with your wholeness. We can restore that feeling for you about the thing that you actually already are. We can see the brokenness as an obstacle instead of a real brokenness of spirit or person or something that needs an outside source to fix. Because it is in you. My job is to hold that space so it can come to your mindfulness too. Okay, the next thing I wanted to do was I said, okay, so once I do that, I'm going to bring in my awareness. And I don't mean of myself. I think we've covered that. I mean of them. If I am fully 100% intentional, committed, and present to you, I'm going to develop a very heightened awareness of the situation because I am fully present to you, to that moment. And what I finally came up with is that I was starting to listen with the ears of my heart. These things still work. I still heard what you said. But my awareness started looking at everything about you. And I don't mean what you were wearing. I meant how you're holding yourself. I meant what you're exuding, that field that I feel coming off of you, as well as the look on your face. What you say, yeah, but what you don't say. I started realizing I was listening with the ears of my heart. And in so doing, I heard more than I ever heard before, and I heard past your story and mine. I heard more in the way that gave me the fullness again, the wholeness of that person. It became available to me. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm up here going, and no, it's perfect. I'm saying this is what I do in order to get down the road with you to a better place, right? I'm not here to fix anybody, but I am here to hold space for you so that we might both be intentional, full, and whole again to one another. Now, of course, as we started doing that, we started to notice. We started noticing a lot of stuff. And this is where the next step comes in. Underneath, you're not going to like it, but here it is. Byron Katie said it, and I'm going to have to just borrow it from her. We had to do the work. Now, I don't know how many of you know that I was raised with work being a four-letter word, but it sounded terrible. Who wants to do that? I don't want to work. Haven't I worked enough? Somebody said that earlier today. Haven't I worked enough? Haven't I given enough? Haven't I studied enough with enough people? All this enoughness? But the truth is, I did and do and still have to do the work. It is a process of life, as far as I can tell. And when I started asking some of the people I started working with to do the work, I realized I had to use all of this in order to language it in a way that made them comfortable instead of directive.
You should do the work. You better do the work.
I had to somehow come to them in a way that they could hear and say, okay, wow, what's that like? And I fell back on my Gwyneth Moss questions. What's that like? And I meant it. I wasn't just being Columbo. I was listening with the ears of my heart. I meant it. What is that like? And have you been there before? Because we have. I have. They have. And when we are gently leading them in our comfort space, they can start to go, yeah, without judgment fears, without,
well, you know, you're a practitioner and I was afraid to come to you because, you know, then what are you going to think? You trained me and whatever. And I went, wow, I've been there, Gwyneth. Sincerely, what part of me wants to call up Gwyneth and go, I'm really stuck and I think I did a terrible bad thing and I'm not really sure how I'm doing this and I probably did it all wrong. Now what do you think of me? She doesn't need that call any more than I needed to make it. But I've been there in that feeling, and I hold that space for somebody else to do the same. And I feel like I'm good for it if I can hold the space and that person can say, yeah, I have been in that space. I am in that space now. I am lost. I have been lost. Let's talk about what's that like for you. It doesn't sound very comfortable. All of my people have changed. They know, I say, let's make that more comfortable. That's my favorite question, right? Not, what suds number are you at?
I say, wow, that looks like a lot. Is it a lot? Let's make that more comfortable. Because I mean it. I'm listening with my heart for that. It's not a head trip. If I start to do this with them, and Jean, this brings up that personal peace procedure thing that you mentioned earlier. I do ask people that work with me to do the personal peace procedure on their own. It's a piece of homework. I call it self-care. Can you do some self-care until I see you again? I'm curious what things in your life still bug you. I am not being directive about, could you please write down every tragedy you've had? Every trauma, every terrible thing that ever happened to you. I don't think that's very useful for my purpose. What's useful for my purpose is that they start to see that a lot of the things that bug them, still bug them, have always bugged them, and are coming up again. And they're coming up again, I think, keywords there, I think they're coming up again because you're ready. Because you are ready to take this opportunity to heal that up, to do the work.
But you're not talking about actually doing the work. You're just asking them to make the list.
I am, and I will give them the link, or I will tell them they can go look at the personal peace procedure. But what I mean for them is to do is the essence of that, which is sit down and do the work. Write down what still bugs you in your life. And then tell yourself how uncomfortable that makes you feel when you think about it right now. And then if I were you, I'd probably take the biggest one off the list and try that one for the day. I try really hard to make this achievable, comfortable, because I know that this is an easy way to get in and do the work. What came up? Well, you know, I did what you said, and I noticed that all of these were about, but that's so interesting. And it is. But what I'm also saying is, good on you. You had an insight because you stopped to do the work. And when we do, I mean, this is not just about cleaning that out and squaring it or erasing the board. It is also about knowing that when you do this, you're developing capacity for something else in your life, something better in your life, because you're not still spending any time squashing all this down or ignoring it or hiding it and pushing it aside again. You now have capacity for somebody else. And that is a big tenet of our project that we've been making together for a long time, is we are building capacity. That's a big word for Jade's family. That's kind of what they do, is they teach others to build capacity. So we borrowed that phrase from them. But in doing the work with one another, what we think we're making is not only the idea of resilience, because we see the obstacle, we get over the obstacle, we observe that we got over the obstacle and live to tell and feel better. But we started making what I call, I guess it's my mission. I started talking to Lori about this back when I was interviewing her for EFT Radio. Most of you know I do this radio show on EFT Radio. And I started talking to her, and she said, well, what are you doing in the world? I'm doing Create Global Healing. I'm doing humanitarian work, and I know you talk to a lot of people who do that in the world. What are you doing? And I said, well, what I think I'm doing is I'm trying to build a different kind of practitioner for creating global healing. First off, I'm trying to make community. I'm doing a radical experiment with community. And so I did this virtual thing with TapVest, but it wasn't enough because I made a lot of mistakes, you know? I didn't tell people what to do with it. Somehow I just thought they'd know. But I'm learning, right? But the important thing was I realized I wanted real community. I wanted to spawn real community and spin it out into the world for whatever healing purpose that that piece of community had. But I wanted to build a different kind of practitioner, because the people who are the biggest crack-ups and the hardest to teach are those who go, well, I'm just coming to your class for the CEOs. I've been tapping for years. I saw all those tapes. I know how to do it, okay? As a matter of fact, I'm not kidding. Several of them have said, you know, I should be teaching this class. It's a great way to start. It's a great way to start. And, you know, every now and then I've got a good sense of humor and I go, you know, you might have to. I'm not feeling so good. So truthfully, though, I am trying to create not a mechanical tapper. Yes, I can teach anyone to mechanically tap. I can give them a chart. I can send it home with them. I can put it on the back of my business card. We're done. I've taught you to tap. That's not what I'm doing. And more and more and more, I'm training other people who are trained in other modalities to integrate this knowledge, awareness, this presence into their toolbox, so that they are serving themselves in a different way, and they are serving their clientele or their community and their families in a different way by becoming present to themselves. And at the end, I think I see the Velveteen Rabbit. We are becoming real. When we do the work, I gotta lighten that up. Sorry, gotta lighten that up. Okay, long time ago, there was a show called Sesame Street. Yes, I used to watch it. And they had this brilliant piece by my friend Chris Cerf, who was the head writer, Bennett Cerf's son. And he said, you gotta watch this video that we did. It's really fun. See what you think. Ernie is there with his rubber ducky. And he loved his rubber ducky so much that he never put it down. He just had to take it everywhere, loved it. But one day, Ernie decided he would love to play the saxophone. But he only had one arm available. And the whole song is about this. If you want to play the saxophone, you got to put down the ducky. I went right between the eyes. I went, that's it. If we want to be another kind of practitioner, what I call wholehearted EFT, and that's not me changing Gary's work, it's changing my approach to it and how I teach the integration of it and the percolation, another John Dee word, the percolation of it is wholehearted EFT. That means I'm teaching this with the idea that I am helping you find your way to real presence, wholeheartedness, full capacity, the ability to meet people where they are exactly and take as long as it takes and go as slow as you need to go. And that you too will give up dreams like I had of going, wow, Gary did that in 10 minutes. What's wrong with me? I've got to get this right. When I realized that that wasn't my role, the role of Gary Craig was already filled. That job was not open. And I did not need to be that person. I needed to get real and be me. And to do that, I had to develop presence. And that is my work in the world, I think. I think that is my mission, to build this community of real people with full capacity to do wholehearted EFT to create global healing. Now, I have no idea where I am in time, so I'll just tell you a moment about this. A long time ago, something really bad happened in Newtown, Sandy Hook, Connecticut. And there was an email that went out, and it said, I'm looking for some people to help me with this. And, you know, I was raised in the Bible Belt. So, of course, I heard Samuel, here am I, Lord. Here I am. And I went, get your hand down. What are you doing? Stop that. But it was insistent, and so I wrote back, and I said, yeah, that was my old community. I used to live in Connecticut, right up the road from there. Okay, I'm in. I had no idea what that meant, none at all. But I did have some trust that Source knew what they were doing. And they probably do. I'm still here, and there's a lot of people with me. So what we decided to do was we organically made this this dream, Lori's dream, of Create Global Healing and Project Light. She'll tell you about that at 3 o'clock when she comes on by Skype because she's over in Hawaii right now. She had that dream to make these places on Earth where she would come into a community, bind that community in a purpose, and serve that community so that they could serve their community. I went, yes, that's exactly great. Can I join you in that? And so that's how this relationship was formed. And then later, we asked our friend Jade Barbie to come in and help us to build capacity of wholehearted EFT practitioners. So what we did was we assembled a group from a large number of volunteers. Lori chose who she wanted to begin with for that task. And it was a mixture of licensed people, unlicensed people, EFT practitioners a long time, relatively new ones. But there was something in their response that she responded to. And these were our first people. And so we started training like nobody's business. The best I could do, the best I could marshal, Ms. Gwyneth Moss, I put it out there. The most integrity I could manage coming out of Gary Craig, showed up. It was really sweet work, and it still is. Sorry, Jean. Because because what I found was such a richness and depth I didn't even know. Because all these plants were coming from here, but they still were kind of stuck here.
Yeah.
And they had to make those gate connections. That's what they had to do. All right, where's the team? Come on. Where's the Kleenex? All right. I wasn't going to do that. But what happened was we found out that people are just like us. Lori and I looked at each other. Wow, they don't want to do the work. But we have to do the work and they have to do the work. Okay, we're going to just tell them we're doing our work. You got to do it too. And it's funny because most of them, in their own sweet way, said the same thing we did. Oh, I did that. I'm done. You know, I was in therapy for years. Did that. And like all of your clients, they come up with the predictable, why is this coming up again? I have worked on this. And we're mad about it. We are. Because, you know, we have spent an extraordinary amount of time working on our stuff. But when we work on our stuff in this different way, I have seen what happens. And you will be able to ask these people. I'm going to introduce you to some of the people that are here. We have seen what happens when you put down the ducky. There's a lot of saxophones out there now. And they are making us so proud. And that community is being served by their community. And more and more and more, the licensed professionals of that community are coming to us and saying, I want what she's got. Whatever that is. They're putting down the ducky. And they're not saying what I have doesn't work, it's invaluable, it's not of value. They're not saying that, and they know we're not either. We're saying, can I show you how this might inform your practice in a way that feels wholehearted? Can I show you how to integrate this presence and intention with this little mechanical protocol that is really going to be much more helpful than what you're telling me you're doing right now? Can you come to this? And by the way, you see all these people? They all did their work. We all do our work here. Don't be scared. It just means let's all get real. Let's be authentic. Starting with being real to ourselves. And then maybe we'll step out into our tapping buddy or our best friend and let's become real. That's what we've been doing. And I think you'll be pleased when you hear what we've been doing. And I'm going to let Lori tell that story in just a few minutes. But for right now, do you think it would be okay if you and I did just a little meditation about developing this? So how about, if I tell you to close your eyes, you can't see me drool up here. I'm leaky. Okay? So I'm going to tell you to close your eyes and get comfortable in your seat. I want you to just feel the chair underneath you and the floor underneath your feet and get comfortable being totally supported. And let's set the intention right now. Let's set the intention to allow ourselves to come to this place of presence. Just an open-ended way, not pretending to have answers. Just being. Just being. Let's set the intention to harness all that is good about us. All the way up to our highest good. And for all those around us, let that presence of that intention, let that feeling start rippling out from you. And just visualize that. Gentle ripplets, or maybe yours is color. Okay. And now I want you to let yourself drop down into your heart. I want you to just allow that heart to start to listen with ears of its own and create that listening heart. keep breathing, and direct your breath into your heart, and feel it soften and expand. Feel that expand in a very comforting way. I want you to just check if there's anything in your body calling to your attention. Go ahead and send it your attention. Give it your full presence. Acknowledge it and give it permission to come back at another time. And you can keep that intention later. Okay. I want you to just allow yourself to put your hands over your sternum, over your collarbones, over your heart, that whole area. Feel the soothing weight of warmth of your hands. Okay. Feel your heart underneath, aware and listening. Feel yourself expanding that area into a place that has suddenly grown more room for you to receive more. But the more is more you. The more is more real. Allowing yourself to accept and receive more from you, of you. Just feel that state of receiving. Open yourself up, if you can, to the idea of service in the universe. Just your purpose and developing, and by that I mean allowing yourself to grow into the capacity you need for the work you do in this world. And go therefore and be real. And when you are ready and you've set that intention, I want you to gently open your eyes and come back. May it be so, and thank you.